I've been asked many times, what are your swing thoughts as you're swinging?
Well, I try to flat load my feet so I can snap load my power pack. As long as my number two power accumulator doesn't break down, I can reach maximum lag and drag pressure through impact fix. You see, the pivot is the utilization of multiple centers.
Golf is geometrically oriented linear force.
And if you think of all this, hopefully you'll hit shots like this.
Welcome to episode 4 of Full Swing Thoughts, a Friday golf podcast about the Netflix docuseries Full Swing. This is season 2 of this podcast, reacting to season 2 of the Netflix show. I'm joined by Joseph LaMagna. I guess I should say I'm Brendan Porath of the Shotgun Start Friday Golf, joined by Joseph LaMagna of Friday Golf. If you're listening at this point, hopefully you've gone through the first 3 episodes. I felt like we've had some really strong discussions that sort of expanded upon just the not just what takes place in the episode, but larger themes. Hopefully, if you're interested in professional golf, hopefully, you know, you're not just jumping in at episode 4, but I think we had some really good discussions with Joseph, one of the smarter younger minds in the game and commentators in the game. So Joseph, thank you for joining me here again. We're back for kind of our second session here recording. How you doing?
I'm great, Brendan. If they jumped in for episode 4, I think that'd be surprising for multiple reasons. But I guess we're going to get into
that. Let's go to it. I mean, I have a feeling. I don't know. I have no idea. What we don't exchange notes. We don't have a plan. We come in cold. That's these go longer than we want every time. It's possible this is like 15 minutes. We'll see here. All right. So episode 4 of Full Swing Thoughts Full Swing season 2. Is called Prove It. Usually we sort of lay out who the characters are, and it's a few, and it's a multi-faceted episode. I would say this is about Tom Kim and only Tom Kim. Is that fair? Is there anybody else in this episode?
No, I mean, I think it's just basically a profile of Tom Kim. Not a profile, I mean, kind of a storyline.
Yeah, so Tom Kim, it takes place everywhere. It's Tom Kim everywhere, and it's only Tom Kim. He's at the Players playing a practice round with Spieth and JT, and I think Smiley's walking with them. The first time this year we get open footage from Hoylake. We haven't not seen that yet in the first 3 episodes. Where else is it? It's just kind of bouncing around.
Augusta. But
those are Augusta National. Tom Kim. Yeah. That's good. That's actually pretty good stuff. I didn't make a lot of notes about that, but that was good. Kind of interesting behind the scenes footage. Interesting is probably too strong a word, but you know, stuff you don't see every time. Augusta National, but it's Tom Kim, just kind of as he goes through the season. Is that fair? Anything more I need to say about who and where this takes place?
I mean, no. I think that it clearly tries to draw a connection between Tom Kim and Tiger Woods. If you want to put that as at the beginning of this discussion, as the framing it and the storyline it tries to draw, I thought it made a concerted effort to connect Tom Kim to Tiger Woods in a lot of ways. Did you also think that?
No, I think there were connections made and Tiger was invoked. They tried to do that with Morikawa in the first season. You remember, he's like a global superstar. They think he could be the next Tiger. I think that was Excel trying to work the refs and massage the whole production. But Excel is the agency for represents Colin and Tiger. But I guess I didn't make that strong connection. Why do you do that? Let's just go jump into it. Why do you say that?
Well, it talks about no one's had 2 wins on the PGA Tour since Tiger Woods. Tom Kim did it. It talks about, I don't want to get too far ahead into some of the notes, but like fighting through injury like Tiger Woods. Oh. It talks about Chris Como is labeled Tiger Woods' former coach.
That was like 5% of Como's career and notoriety. I thought, but that's what you do when it's a mainstream show. You like, what is, he's sort of the North Star of which everything else is labeled off of or orbits, I would say.
But I thought it was kind of a concerted effort to keep tying Tom Kim to Tiger, talking about him making these accomplishments that nobody else has done since Tiger. Same coach as Tiger, and that coach says he has what it takes to get to number one. Fighting through injury, kind of like Tiger. That point is made explicitly. So I thought the whole overarching like storyline was crazy. And the way Tom Kim is being talked about is crazy. Yeah. do we want to get right into that?
Nuts.
Do you want to do awards?
Yeah,
how do you want to do it?
Let's do awards. I want to say it. We'll talk about it. The first three episodes, I think we've come away with a largely very positive review. Yeah. I think we've been really impressed. Hopefully, if you listened, we've had some, I don't know if deep is the word, but some profound conversation around what we got from these. I thought this episode was not very good. Is that fair? Can we just say an overarching? We don't have to give it a grade. I didn't think this was a good. It was by far the weakest episode of the season so far. Is that fair?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought it was pretty painful.
All right. Let's do awards then. So if you've not listened to the first three, you probably have. We're just making up awards. We're making up categories. We say the category, you have to guess. Like if you're listening to this in a row, you're probably annoyed with me now giving the instructions on what they are. But we're making up a couple random awards from the episode we just watched. I will go first with my first category. I'll go quick so we don't go into long discussion off of it. This is a regular one. For if you're a Shotgun Start listener, you will be familiar with it. Thirst bucket of the episode.
Oh, I did not use the same person as the thirst bucket. I had an award for him and I took him out, but that's got to be Tom Kim's agent.
Yes. Good job, Joseph.
That's easy. I mean,
get out of here. Get out of here. Look, agents are in this docuseries. They are part of these players' lives. To neglect them, not put them on camera, to not have them in the background would be just sort of a disservice of the reality of these guys' lives on the ground every day, or at least around golf tournaments. That makes sense. They're a big part of these guys' lives. This guy seemed to be really wanting to elbow his way into the paint. Like he comes flying in down the middle of the paint, like, look at, get me in here. He does. I think there's kind of a difference between being in the scene because you're there, because you're part of this guy's life, and sitting down and doing the confessional interview. And that's what this agent does. I believe his last name was Harrison. I forget his name. Yep. Ben? William Henry Harrison. I don't remember. Harrison was his last name. So he like sits down and does the sort of confessional interview. Like, I think there's a later episode, Justin Thomas's agent is in it, but that's just because like, he's there for the day. They're driving in a car. Cameras are in the car. They're like, I don't know. It just felt like this agent was really trying to peacock into the episode. Thirst bucket of the episode. Good guess. So you're with me on that one. You had that as a note?
Yeah. Originally, I had a snake oil salesman award.
And then I took it back.
I thought it was a little harsh. But we were on the same page. We were on the same page, clearly.
I wouldn't say he was like saying anything crazy or like sketchy. He was just a conscious effort to get in the camera in my estimation. Okay, what's your award? What's your first award?
All right, I'm going to do this is going to be a tough poll. But I think you've kind of stumped me a lot in the first three episodes. So if this stumps you,
I'll be proud. All right, good.
I just found this amusing. So I'm calling this award, "This quote is not like the others" award. There was one quote in here that I was tickled by because it didn't describe Tom Kim like every other quote described Tom Kim. Do you have a guess at what I'm getting at?
Can I narrow it to, was it from one of like the media pundit commentary or is it
I'm putting you on the spot. This is kind of
hard. Yeah, you got me stumped.
I think it would be hard to guess, but I was very amused that all the quotes in this show were Tom Kim, like the generational talent. The best players in the world are taking stock of this performance.
There was one about how he doesn't hit it very far. He's middle of the pack. That was just from the broadcast, though.
The one I'm going for is Joe Skovrin, his caddy, who says,
"Oh God,
I think he has shown that he has the chance to be great." It was a very different tone than some of the other. It was a little more cautious. And what I'm so amused by, why I wanted to bring it up, is Joe Skovrin is no longer Tom Kim's caddy.
It was amazing. They paint like the unsuspecting viewer, and that's probably 98% of the people who watch this don't need to know like caddy movements. We of course are locked in on that since Kapalua when the change was made. So he is no longer all this testimony through this episode. And all the scenes, like Skovrin, I mean, let's be real here. Skovrin fired Tom Kim. Like, he saw a better opportunity and went for it. He's at Ludwig Aber. He jumped him. Like, that's what happened. So, yes.
That's why a I good liked one. It. That's why I wanted to bring it up. Just like all these quotes in here from whether it's an agent or a media pundit billing Tom Kim as this like next absolute superstar who, if you paid attention to golf, like you knew that that wasn't quite telling the full story. And then you got the guy who's carrying his bag every day being like, I think he's shown he has the chance to be great. For me, that stood out.
Yeah, it's that. That's a good one. That's perceptive because there's an ocean of like crazy quotes in this. And that takes me to my next award, which I guess it doesn't really even make sense. It doesn't even make sense. I said, maybe it's just me. Am I the crazy one? Am I the crazy one award? And it goes to me. It goes to me. Am I the crazy one award? Because I started like thinking like, Joseph, we cover this like daily. You watch every like Thursday, Friday featured groups round for better or worse. You're a nut. And I do 3 podcasts a week with Shotgun. You do podcasts. Like we watch this closely. I think like we have a fairly good temperature of professional golf. What's resonating? Am I crazy? No. It starts to build up. Here we go. Tom Kim became a literal global superstar. That's a quote. Literal. Yeah, in 2 months. That's just not, I don't think that's the case. Or else we have a very liberal definition of that. They argue there's hardly ever been a better 20-year-old than Tom Kim. Sean Foley called him a generational talent? That's not true. This is a guy who's going to win some major championships. I think that was an Andy North quote dubbed in from the broadcast. Foley called Tom Kim, proved that playing with an injury, that he's really as good as any player out there. There are a lot of good players. There are a lot of great players. The greats are going to be watching him. I think the greats they might have noticed him. Like he had a President's Cup. I kept like, this started building. Like he's the first player to win twice before the age of 21 since Tiger. That's a literal fact. Okay. Like I'll accept that. That like started to register with me. And that's what I started to think like, am I the crazy one here? Do you have other testimony that sort of left you sort of gobsmacked as to did I shortchange Tom Kim in the last 12 months?
No, I have the same quotes that you have written down, and I don't always write down quotes in full when we're going through these episodes. I wrote down similar, like saying there's hardly ever been a better 20-year-old than Tom Kim is crazy. Like there have been... Yeah. Plenty of golf. I mean, Jordan Spieth, like what kind of prospect was Jordan Spieth compared to Tom Kim? I think that, look, Tom Kim had a really hot end of last summer and won some golf courses that aren't always like major championship like setups that are kind of wedge and putting contests, which is something that Tom Kim's good at. That's a little in the weeds. So maybe the Netflix doesn't need to know.
Where'd
that.
He win? Windham.
He won at Wyndham and he won at Shriners.
Shriners. Yep. Okay.
And like that doesn't need to be explained to the Netflix viewer. But like if you followed golf, you kind of knew, well, Tom Kim doesn't really have that much power off the tee. Like he's probably not as projectable as a lot of other prospects that have come along. Like he's not on that Victor Hovland, Matthew Wolf, Colin Morikawa class. Those guys were older than he was when they came out. But like you knew Tom Kim wasn't on track to be the number one golfer in the world. And if you just watched this Netflix documentary or this episode and you didn't know anything about professional golf before, I think you would have come away thinking like this is the next absolute superstar. And it's just not. I mean, no offense to Tom Kim, he's a great player, but it's not that.
He's a good player. He's done a lot for a very young age, I guess.
He's very talented.
But like the age and resume kind of belie the fact on the ground of like he doesn't hit the ball far enough to succeed at like a dominant global superstar level, probably sustainable, consistent.
Well, at a superstar level, I mean, I agree, but I also thought, and I don't know if you had this in your notes, but one of the media members was saying that Tom Kim's major championships like really haven't stacked up with what his expectations would be.
Well, what do you mean? No,
he played well. He also played well in the majors last year. He finished tied for 16th at Augusta, missed the cut at the PGA, finished tied for 8th at the US Open, and then tied for 2nd at the Open Championship. Like, those are strong results for somebody of his resume. So I just think the general golf story that was told here, what the expectations for Tom Kim were versus reality, was a little bit far off.
It would be like, honestly, if there was like an NBA documentary or docuseries on the 2024-3-4 season, and there was some episode on like Scoot Henderson, who's like the number two pick, done okay, done well. And like the whole episode is like, he is literally the generational talent. And like, he came after Victor Wembanyama. Brandon Miller's having a better year. Like that, like, and there's this entire episode dedicated to Scoot Henderson. I'm pulling this off the top of my head. Maybe I'm over my skis on this, but like a great prospect, like highly touted, young, accomplished, but like his season isn't that of kind of the guy around the two guys around him. And all of a sudden you're just watching that, you love the NBA and you're watching this documentary that says he's the generational superstar and like nobody's maybe been as good as him at this age and thing. And you're like, huh? That's not what I,
you know,
really...
who, in terms of cross sport analogies, Brendan, this is something I have in my notes. They're describing him like he's Carlos Alcaraz, the 20-year-old tennis player, sure, who's won two Grand Slams now and like has stood toe to toe with Novak Djokovic.
Yes.
Like, yes. That's the way they're describing him. Carlos Alcaraz, that's legitimate to talk about him as maybe being one of the next greats. Like, they're describing Tom Kim, who's about the same age as Alcaraz, a little bit older, actually. And that's just not, he's not that player.
So,
should I get to my other award, or do we not even?
Yeah, let's go to your other award. Let's go to your other award. I'm the crazy one. That was barely even an award. That was just a discussion starter. Go ahead. Well, what's your award?
I'm sure we'll have some more discussion related to that at the end, but my other award is the Miracle Worker Award.
Miracle, is it Chris Cuomo? Miracle Worker. The physio in the Open Championship trailer.
Dr. Andrew Murray. I mean, saving, what a catastrophic injury. Can we get into that?
What was the injury? I didn't hear it, but it sort of shatters the whole, these guys are incredible athletes, because he like slipped on the patio. He like, I slipped in a crack on the patio or something.
This
like,
might be
that
a crazy
That's...
one.
Go ahead.
For myself, but it was a third degree tear of the ATFL. I've never done that. I don't know exactly what that is, but I feel like we really dramatized what that injury was.
It looked painful. It looked maybe hard to play golf. I don't want to doubt him. I don't want to hate on. Like, I remember, I feel like in the moment at Open Championship week, Tron was tweeting or commenting on their podcast about how the Netflix cameras were at Hoylake and they were dramatizing his injury and playing it up, and it was really like there was like this thirsty cloak and dagger campaign going on for a Netflix episode, and then here we are like 8 months later or whatever, and it's this episode. So I sort of
said it was tiger like I mean tiger
oh I, think the in- I know I
the
know.
Injuries Broken that leg, t- yeah, tiger boring. Dealt with compared to this, like, I don't want to downplay the Tom Kim injury too much, though I do like have that in my notes. Is Tom Kim soft? Like, I think leaving on crutches is kind of crazy.
That was stupid. That was stupid. If you just played golf for like 2 or 3 days, you just probably don't need crutches to walk out on. He immediately puts weight on his foot when he's got the crutches.
I mean, if someone just played 54 holes on it, like, I'm not crutching out of there. Like, there's no chance I'm crutching out of there. So, yeah, that was one big note I had. I mean, Tony Finau, like, shattered his ankle in the 2018 Masters and then got up.
I don't know, shattered
is a strong word, but
no, I know it was bad. It was bad. I don't want to doubt his injury and playing through pain, but it was clearly an element of the episode and Netflix being on hand, and all of a sudden they have an arc for his Open Championship, right? That's the story arc now. And so, of course, it was probably played up for that. Not just doubting that he was in pain or anything like that.
I'm sure he was hurt. I'm more playfully like, did you think that was over dramatized? I'm sure it hurt, but it did feel like that was probably not the injury that it was hyped up to be.
So this was a lot of Tom Kim. This is like a little inside, and I'm not claiming any credit of any kind for this television show or anything like that. So I did work at Vox Media once, and Vox Media has a a part in this show. Chad Mom is the executive producer, does like a great job. Like, he's the one that made this show happen. It busts his ass, pulled it together. But like, there was this idea of this show like a long time ago, before Netflix was an option, before like the F1 show was a template, it never existed. And like, we talked and I was like just a lowly golf writer or whatever. It was like, what if we did like Hard Knocks for golf? Like, how would we do it? But how would we do characters? And like, you try to like, I remember I wrote a document. I got to find it. It was like, who would have been in this show 5 years ago and like no longer is even relevant. I know I put like Finau would be someone, young guy, hasn't won a real event, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And sketching it out, I remember like you want to find like diverse ages, diverse stories, diverse tours, like the journeyman, the young up and like, obviously you want like the headliners, the sexy stars who are going to get guys, people in the, to hit play. So like clearly like last year they had a Sahith the Gala episode. They went and did like kind of the Latin players, right? Like they bounced around older guy, Joel Damon's the older guy. So like they're trying to fit different characters to tell, like, it's hard to tell the full story of the tour and what it means to be a pro golfer. And they clearly had picked Tom Kim out this year. And it's probably not a bad choice, not a bad idea at the beginning of the year, especially coming off that President's Cup. I just remember trying to sketch the character list. It was like interesting. I would have put Tom Kim. It just felt like an entire episode just didn't feel worthy or warranted based on what they got. And also based on like his season and what the story was. So it was, but I get why he ended up being a subject of the show. This is what they have to do and what they're going for. But it led to, for me, like sort of the worst episode so far. And that's a high bar because the first three were very good. This wasn't by any bar a very good episode for my money. But
I think you're bringing up a good point, right? Like you contract these guys to spend a lot of time with them for the year, and then you're subject to whatever happens that year. Some stories are going to be more compelling than others, and it's probably hard to say, hey, we're actually not going to use any of that footage. So you put them in somewhere. They decided that to make it a full episode on Tom Kim. Like, I get it. Their hands are somewhat tied. They didn't film 30 golfers and then they picked the best 8 stories. Like, they're, so I get it. But yeah, I thought this episode was really weak. And Tom Kim, like, there wasn't that much to get into. Like, he had a reasonably solid year. I don't think you'd say it was a disappointing year based.
No,
you would if you framed him as the future number one player in the world, but like, for who Tom Kim is, he had a fine year. I don't know how you make super dramatic story out of that. So I guess that's where I was kind of left with the similar.
I gotta find that original list when we started conceptualizing. I didn't do anything, but like, I know Kisner, I'm sure, was on it. It was like 2016, 17, somewhere in there, Finau, that kind of thing. But yeah, Tom Kim, here he is. Should we hit notes? Do you want to just rip through notes? There's probably not a lot. Do you have any other big themes you want to touch on from the
episode? I'm through most of my notes, but go ahead. What do you have?
I mean, that's it. I mean, the Skovran part we already hit on, like, that was super interesting to me. Like, no one knows that context, that he's gone. I liked when he said, hit me up, I'm available, as in, like, I, you know, ladies. That was young and endearing with the women and the PG at the Oak Hill. Hit me up, I'm available.
On that, similar, Brendan, I thought one of the most insightful things was when he said, I didn't have a lot of friends growing up, so it's really nice to be around those guys. That was like a rare, something I didn't know about Tom Kim. Makes sense because he turned professional when he was 15 overseas. Yep. And that was kind of interesting to hear him be self-deprecating that way and kind of open up. So I appreciated that.
I find the Spieth relationship super endearing.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was like the best television, but it seems like that's a real thing. And we had heard about it, and it's genuine. And Spieth as sort of a mentor and an elder statesman at whatever age he is, like late 20s.
Thanksgiving at the Spieth house, right?
Christmas, maybe the 1 year. Maybe it was like the year prior, I think, going into 2023 that we got that tidbit at Kapalua, I feel like. But yes, they're clearly like, there's some level of closeness there. And I found that to be sort of endearing. Spieth seems to kind of care about how he is and what he's doing. I had a larger theme question. Would this have been would we want an episode, and I'm kind of asking like a hard question about ourselves and the audience here, would we want an episode more on like the Korean culture of players that are that are on tour. Like, this is Tom Kim. It's like about Tom Kim, Dallas resident, you know, and Tom Kim playing the American tour. I just wonder, as like, for the hardcore golf fan, it might be interesting to sort of understand, like, the subculture of Korean players on tour, whoever that is, Siwoo, Sanjay, even get Danny Lee off of Live, right? Like, I don't know. Is that a separate episode? Would you have been more interested in something like that? Like, how do they roll together? In the same way, like, they did the Joaquin Neiman Mito episode last year and Ortiz and all those guys. I don't know if that would have been a better episode. I find that as a fascinating aspect of PGA Tour golf, right? Like, what? How are those guys' lives? How do they acclimate, adjust, having to go back and forth? You know, you've got KH Lee. Like, there's been winners, a lot of winners in recent years. I just wonder if that would have been a better episode.
I have a note, like, no Korea stuff, no family stuff, really.
Yeah.
Like, I would love an episode like that. I think some of the military service stuff would be really interesting. And that's something that would get fans engaged and realize they have another reason to cheer for these players at certain events like the Olympics. So I'd be into it. I don't know, though, like, why you don't get more family stuff sometimes. Like, I don't know what kind of relationship some of these players have with their family. So I don't want to demand, like, how come we don't get to learn more about their family? And I don't know what their family situation is. That could be a good reason for it. But a general Korea, like, how these guys travel together. I know a lot of them like finding Korean restaurants when they're out. Like, I'd be interested in seeing it. I don't know how good the content would be, but I'd like to see it.
I mean, and they're like, let's be honest. There's not, like, you know, people complain, networks complain, like, the mainstream appeal or the ratings will be down if so-and-so is going to win. Like, that's a hard question. People, like, I'm not saying it's fair or proper, but, like, that's sort of like why this docuseries exists. Like, yeah, Joel Damon wasn't going to be a big draw, but if it's a good story, it's a good story. And I don't know, maybe it's hard to tell if with the language barrier and everything like that. But it was just a note I had. Would that have been a better episode for the golf sickos, kind of understanding that very, very prominent part of what the tour is now? So.
Well, I have a similar, sort of a similar note, but let's say you're basically the way I was thinking about this. Let's say your performance is going to fall off a little bit if you sign with Netflix. You decide to let the cameras follow you around for a full year, and your performance may take a small hit. Not necessarily. I'm not saying that's guaranteed, but let's just say in general, you knew that going in. I think being on the Netflix show is so valuable for these guys that, like, a small hit to your performance is still probably well worth it in terms of, like, the endorsements you're going to get and the new fans you're bringing in. And you'd probably get a sponsor exemption into certain events if you didn't qualify anymore. Like, I think kind of building off your question, like, well, if we're never going to find out who KH Lee is, this is a good opportunity to give him a platform, and it's a really valuable platform. Shouldn't more guys be clamoring for these spots? I'm sure a lot of them are, but I feel like it is unbelievably valuable to be on this show.
Yeah, and you could do like KJ Choi, go to like talk to him as like the grandfather, the godfather of the whole thing. I don't know. Maybe it's not an episode, but it's just
like, if you were an agent, Brendan, would you want one of your clients to be on this show?
So I could be in it, like Tom Kim's agent.
Ben Harrison.
Yeah, I think that's a sensible choice. Yes, I think you would definitely want your player in this, unless you're, I don't know, Tiger or something, like too big to care or need it. But yes, I do. Empty the notes. What do you got? Throw your first.
I think
note
I hit
up there.
Most of them. I mean, the crutches thing I thought was kind of crazy. I just thought a lot was dramatized. There was another line in here that's like, when you're playing practice rounds are friendly, but Tom's got to realize he's swimming with sharks out here.
I had swim with the sharks. I was like, oh, that is so dramatic.
It's not like that. Like, it's they made it seem like in practice rounds, Spieth and JT are like talking Tom Kim, but they're actually sizing him up and ready to eat him as soon as you tee it up on Thursday, like they're sharks. Like, that was overblown.
That was dramatized. I thought Foley had an interesting quote. Those players at the highest level only respect winning a major. I don't think that's necessary. I think that's dramatized. I think they respect like sticks. Like if you're a stick, like they're like, whoa, they like, I think they can tell even if you win a major or not win a major, poofing it or like they respect a bunch of wins. They respect a bunch of top five. I just think like they only respect a major is not some kind of guys may feel that way, but that's just that was way too black and white. Me.
There was another quote that was like, in reality, this is the age when guys set themselves apart, talking about Tom Kim. And I was like, he's 21. This is right. not the age when golfers set themselves apart. Like some do, but you can be 20. Ludvig Åberg is 24. Yeah, he's 24. Like he's setting himself apart. 21 is young to be making a quote like that.
One quote from Danny Rappaport, and I like Danny. It's like very hard to like throw these quotes out and try to bridge, like tell the story of the golf season without getting too like for a general audience. The one that said, is he going to be the guy who played around the mud or is he going to rededicate himself? I just thought that was like not like Tom Kim's identity is never going to be about just the fall in the mud at the PGA. It was like a viral moment there, but there's just, that was never, he was dedicated. It wasn't like he was dicking around like in the, like trying to make a activation or something. I don't know. I just thought that was just a very simplified look at it. And I don't mean to, Dan,
and the end
I,
of the quote
I
was like,
apologize.
Or rededicate himself to being one of the best players in the world. And it's like,
okay, I didn't even get to that.
Yeah. He wasn't one of the best players in the world either.
Right. Right. I thought he was kind of an afterthought all season. I thought he was an afterthought at the Open. Is that
fair? Harman was so far ahead. He wasn't ever. Yeah. Tom Kim was never live to win.
Yes.
Right.
I talk about the Open every day. We watch the Open from sun up to sundown. He was just not a main character. Now, he was for the show, but he was kind of an afterthought for much of the season. And then he wins at Shriners in the fall.
But, which probably goes to the point of like, well, if you filmed them all year, what's the story there? If you're Netflix, how do you make an episode? And that's probably right. Pretty tough.
The song Into the Battleground for when he was had his ankle or foot injury. They like, Into the Battleground. Like he was just traumatized it way too much for me having to play on his injury.
I'm crawling to the parking lot before I'm using crutches.
What else? The cooler cart. Like that's just a separate issue I have with cooler culture. We've gone way too far with cooler culture enthusiasm and identity. Like they don't need to be anything more than a cooler. And he's right. Like that's not a Tom Kim thing. That's just, it's a problem I have with our culture and society. Coolers getting too carried away. I loved him with like the monkey brain or whatever it was about the fast food going. And I was thinking, you know, the Masters has all these sort of pitfalls, right? And it's usually like you psych yourself out or you get screwed up or, you know, you overhype it or you're not prepared for the whatever, the greens or this shot or that shot. All these pitfalls of Augusta. And maybe one of them's Washington Road for a handful of guys because that is like fast food garbage heaven. And if you are a person who's tempted easily and my Tom Kim cites, I just want a McFlurry, which cracked me up. If you were someone with that monkey brain, we all struggle with it. You know, we all do, whether it's food or something else. You know, maybe that's the pitfall of Augusta National for some, is you have to go down Washington Road every night and day. And you're just, all of a sudden, you're putting like a bomb in your stomach. You know, maybe that's another unseen pitfall.
Do you think it should become like the best drive in golf? And now it's not Magnolia Lane, it's Washington Road. And
yeah. They did a great job with the cameras of like showing you just like sign at the, like, it's like the Las Vegas strip of fast food joints and junk. What else do you have? Anything else? You good?
I think I covered most of it.
I thought Como did some of the best work of the episode. I thought he had some good quotes. This one really hit me and it tells you like a lot about the game. It's a fickle game. It's easy to get in these little funks. It can seem like you're never going to get out of it. Then you start to put more pressure on yourself because you know what you're capable of. I think that's the mindset of these, a lot of these guys. Like, shit, I might have peaked at 25. I know what I'm capable of. And then you're not there and you're never going to get back. And then you start thinking about it more and more and it gets harder. And then he goes, and it's trying to unravel this knot that is way more complicated than, hey, man, you got to believe in yourself. And I think building off sort of the mental game of the prior episode with Wyndham Clark, like we just saw the work that can go into that and how much that can matter. And yet that's still like, as to put it in Como's terms, the knot. That's only like a little piece of unraveling the knot. And I thought that was a good quote about who sees these guys up close grinding and like the standard of living up to prior whatever you're capable of. So it's a good
quote.
You know,
it's interesting you're saying that. Maybe this episode could have used more Como. And since the mental game's been such a theme here, talking about Rory, how he hasn't won a major in so long, like wanting to kind of get back into who he was 10 years ago. I mean, not in every way, but like some of that playing with that freedom and knowing he can win. Maybe having Chris Como talk a little bit more about working with some top players. Like maybe that could have been an angle. I don't know.
Yep. This is not to say Tom Kim is never going to be a good player, is not a good player, hasn't done wildly impressive things already for his age. But I don't know. Just the episode felt like it's a little detached from the reality in a more significant way than some of these. I know they got to tell stories and create drama, but this felt a little detached. All right. I think that does it. Episode 4, Full Swing Thoughts. We'll be back with more on episode 5.